We're talking box trucks and trips. What? Where did she go?
We're talking antique, a massive antique place in Connecticut, Springfield.
And what's it called? Burghine?
It's called Burghine. Yeah. it's where they invented the Holocaust.
It's Dorfman.
Yeah, it's the Holocaust at 240 beats per minute. Auschwitz 2.0.
I can't.
Deep House. HAUS. But they had
That's how they caught Anne Frank. She was listening to.
Yeah, she was being listening a to slut.
She was listening to industrial music.
Yeah.
She was listening to Carl Cox. Turn that down.
They're like, what is that music?
Good.
Yeah, we're going to like it in 60 years, maybe. Right now, it's still Wagner, but soon.
Yeah, they're going to experiment with bisexuality. Mm-hmm. The Scheiser rooms.
Yeah, I always thought it'd be cool if, like, Mengele, in addition to the experiments, he also had, like, in his workshop, like, a little, like, keyboard. Like, he was fucking around with synths.
Yes.
He was getting, like, was that another thing? It was a side project. People didn't know that Mengele was really into, like, Moog.
Yeah.
Like, old
work.
School, yeah. Like, analog Moog stuff and, like, patch
a
synths.
And sound for 3 days straight. Yeah.
Because everybody, it's like, you know how people say, like, Hitler did a lot of bad stuff, but he was a good public speaker. Mengele, horrific scientist experimenting on people. Pretty sick on the keyboard.
Yeah. Super producer.
Yeah, really good beats.
Yeah, he's the Scott Storch of his time.
a magician as soon as he started banging the pads.
Yeah. Our guest today, Nick from MDE.
Yeah.
A lot of people were angry that I just hung out while Shane did the podcast in Providence.
Yeah, they were not happy that you weren't on there.
Yeah, people get really angry about that.
Well, they want to see you.
I don't know.
What the fuck? They couldn't care less what the fuck I was saying.
So really?
You might have to come up. These are like stage mics.
Oh, yeah.
So you might have to come up on a little bit. They don't really capture. Once you're outside of this zone.
Yeah, I'm just mumbling in the background like a fucking asshole.
Well, that's good. They'll take what they can get.
Nick from MDE is here. Stavros, once again, at the M&M store.
Yeah.
In Times Square.
He's at a wedding at the M&M store.
What's he doing? His
brother's getting married.
But that was yesterday. Today is brunch.
Today is the after wedding brunch, and you know Stav's taking that real serious.
That's the whole reason he went. Yeah. Him and his brother haven't spoken for 20 years. And he's like, "What are you just fucking breakfast sausage and cantaloupe?
Damn, you got the whole spread?
Yeah.
You got the whole continental?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, by the way.
Oh, no.
Appreciate it. Welcome to New York.
We had fun in Providence the 2 days
Nick was telling me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys should.
It was the highlight of the trip.
I want you to make it a nice woodsy stop on the way to hellhole New England, because past Providence gets grim, like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Boston's no fun for anyone.
So. Yeah.
I was in Boston that same weekend, actually.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Where did you do the comedy?
I did, I was doing stand-up at, what's it called? I forget the name of the place. White Horse something?
Harvard University.
I was at Harvard University. I was giving a keynote.
The basement at Harvard University.
Yeah. I did a kind of pull.
He's writing his jokes on a blackboard, and then the janitor comes by and they say, yeah, this shit sucks.
That's gay.
You should be down here.
And who was that janitor? It was Mr. Steve Harvey.
Yeah,
it was. I thought it was Casey Affleck's buddy.
You've seen that video of Norm Macdonald asking Artie Lang about the sketch he pitched on Mad TV?
No,
I guess like because you know Artie was on Mad TV.
Yeah,
and he was also on heroin.
Yeah, he was also on heroin. But they, you know,
last coke nose.
He was like. You know, I guess he would pitch stuff, but like Chris Farley was the same way. He's on SNL. He would pitch stuff, but he's like, he's just a performer.
Yeah.
You know, so his pitches were like just ridiculous, but like, it's like, there's a clip of Norm Macdonald just being like, what was that thing you pitched to Goodwill Smith or whatever? And he's like, oh yeah, it's like a janitor at a black college. And you know, there's a board downstairs that says 2 + 2 and he puts 4 on it, and they're like, oh, he solved it. It took the professors 8 years.
A whole other movie shoot outside of that.
And Artie's like, but they rejected it. I guess they said it was racist or something. I don't know.
Anyway, Beetlejuice, get in.
Yeah.
And I like. Did you watch a lot of Mad TV? Did you guys?
All the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you like David Herman?
Who's David Herman?
David Herman was the guy who got blacklisted in Mad TV. He was the guy who did the...
I don't remember
him. Spishak Industries like spokesperson.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was the guy's name.
He was the guy from Office Space.
He was the other
Paul
guy.
Oh, him.
It was Michael Bolton in Office Space.
Yeah.
And he was like the next coming of like Jim Carrey, if you were like...
He got blacklisted?
Yeah. I think he either... I don't know the story. I used to be like obsessed with that guy. I was like, man, he's the funniest guy of all time.
Yeah, because they had like three different tall guys.
Yeah, Michael McDonald,
the other one, and then that guy.
Yeah, that guy was the first two seasons. David.
Yeah, 95 to 97.
Yeah, and then I think he either like decked an executive or ran a sketch to the ground. And they were like, get the fuck out of here. And then he was just black. And then he just didn't. Now he's, I think he's a voice or something.
He's a voice actor. Yeah. According to Wikipedia.
I know Christian Duguay, who was on the first season or two, or maybe two or three.
Christian Duguay.
Maybe he was on the show later.
Yeah, that had to be that. Like when there was like everybody on that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I remember him.
He's a nice guy.
What's when Seth Meyers' brother was on it?
Yeah.
Josh Meyers,
yeah.
Yeah, that was the end there. But yeah. I remember hitting up David Herman, and I was like, yo, when I first started, I was like a fucking latrine. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, man, you're the best.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't talk to anyone. I felt like a fucking pussy. I was like, oh.
That's me, dude. I'm trying to be that guy. Yeah. I don't talk to anyone.
But he was in a movie 25 years ago.
Talking to people to let them know you don't talk to people.
Yeah. Telling you, like, really fucking pissing in my corner.
Fuck you, man.
Yeah, get the fuck away from me.
He doesn't have a David Herman subreddit who's harassing him constantly.
I've told him that story before, but I did that with Jim Gaffigan when I was like a teenager.
Really?
Jim Gaffigan, I found his like AOL like instant messenger screen name.
And you hit him up?
I did. I was like, dude, I'm a huge fan. And this was, you know, this was 45 years ago. This was before.
This was during the Reagan administration.
Yeah, this was like way before like, you know, anyone, you know, he wasn't like the huge Jim Gaffigan that people know him to be now. And I was like, hey, I'm a big fan. He's like, oh, thank you. That's obviously, it's like, you know, this is like an old man trying to figure out how to use a computer. And there's just like a child that's like, hey, I love you, you know. And he's probably like trying to delete, you know, he doesn't want to go to prison.
He's saving your email for like later.
Yeah. And then I sent him, there used to be a website called Tard Blog, which was a blog written by a special education teacher where she would just like go in on the kids.
Really?
Yeah. And I sent it to him and he just responded, I'm not offended, but I have to go. And then he never responded.
It really knocked the wind out of you.
Yeah.
A nice teenage.
I like that he clarified he wasn't offended. Mm-hmm. He could take it.
And now here we are 35 years later. It turns out Jim Gaffigan's a fucking retard.
Yeah.
Turns out he had Down syndrome the whole time and no one knew.
He gave him $38 million for it.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Why I was talking about candy in his act so much.
Yeah, total cereal. It was all like a, you know, like a ruse to hide the fact that he's a Cookie Crisp man in reality.
So what?
Do you run this live?
What's that?
Do you run this live?
What do you mean live?
This is like just, or do you edit or at all or no?
It doesn't get edited, but it's not live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this won't come out till next week.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then if
you say anything, you know, you're like, I don't want that in there, just let me know and I'll forget.
Just say the timestamp.
Yeah, I'll just run the clock.
Yeah, we got this too. In case you ever want to get a little hot, you can just throw that in there.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll work right off. Yeah. I'll fuck that up somehow.
Yeah, well, you got to press the button. You can't be like, you know, he's Chinese. I understand why they called him, you know, and forget to hit the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
We've had a number of instances where we've forgotten to hit the button.
I'm pretty good at it. He's bad at it.
I'm pretty bad at it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
He doesn't like me touching the
board.
I
had practice because growing up, me and my cousin would do that on the phone all the time.
Really?
Well, you know, you'd call somebody and then use the button. You'd be like, what's up? You know?
It's wicked funny.
Yeah.
That's a good phone joke.
Yeah, elementary school.
That's still funny.
The move. I was like, yeah, I got to talk to this Jim Gaffigan online and tell him about these retards. I think one of the retards is a you know, did that move.
Yeah, that's did you do a lot of prank phone call jokes?
Never prank phone. I always wanted to be better at prank phone calls when I was a kid, but you know, I mean, I cave under pressure. I wasn't ever any good at it. I was better at prank phone calls as an adult. I developed a
like a party trick.
No, not a party trick. I had my own thing. I did like an album as an old man, and I'd call places as a senior citizen.
No shit.
Yeah, but just like absurd demands. Like I called like Outback Steakhouse and demanded to bring my own onion in to bloom. Or to, like, you know, and they wouldn't let me do that. And it's like, well, I want to come in. I want to select my onion in the kitchen.
I'm going back there. I want to fucking see what's going on.
Yeah. Well, if you act like just this helpless, like, demented old man, like, yeah, people don't hang up on you because they feel bad. So you can keep them on the phone. You can keep the manager of an Outback Steakhouse on the phone for an hour and a half.
They're like, stay on the phone and don't lose them.
Yeah, right.
This is going above and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're really nice. At the end of the phone call, it kind of, it's because, you know, a lot of prank phone calls, you're just trying to piss people off.
Yeah.
But if you can piss people off and then restore their humanity in the end, it has like a nice, like, kind of narrative arc.
Yeah, well, let's not make this all bad.
Yeah.
Like, I used to prank prostitutes on Craigslist at parties on speakerphone.
I used to prank them too by giving them $300 for a half hour.
And seeing, like, we would see how far they would go.
You remember when you it was the week Backpage got, like, shut down by the FBI?
Uh-huh.
And you had, I guess, solicited or whatever, like, the week prior?
No, that was my friend.
Oh, yeah, your friend did it. And then your friend was real nervous, and he came over to my apartment, and he was sweating bullets.
No, that wasn't me.
Yeah, I know, your friend that was very nervous about getting in trouble, because it was just, like, the week. It happened to be the week they shut that website down.
Yeah. You were waiting for Sipowicz to bust through the door. And
yeah.
Oh, I mean, it wasn't me, but yeah. That. Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. You know how it was. Okay, we can move on.
Well,
yeah,
crime will do that to you. Yeah. When you commit a crime, you get all the paranoia of the things that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
But we used
especially a coming crime. Can you imagine how much it must suck to be a rapist? Like, afterwards, like, just a regular post.
No one appreciates how stressful it must be.
Like a
them.
Regular, yeah, exactly. No, I mean it. Like a regular post nut with somebody that's not a crime.
Right.
You're already like, what did I do? But imagine
that person wanted to fuck you.
You're raping like an eighth grader at gunpoint, and then having to be like, I gotta get my life together.
I forgot to pay my taxes.
Yeah.
I was sober.
Yeah, my dad had kids by my age.
You fucking loser.
By the time my dad was my age, he had a fucking career and a family.
My God. I'm over here in a police interrogation room.
No one's trying to help the pedophiles too. It's like, that's like, you're not going to like a, there are no nonprofits having a gala to like,
well, you have an
pedophiles.
Option. If you're a pedophile, just like, you know, join the Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's
become
true.
Become like a huge
work
Democratic.
Harder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
what's the spirit cooking? Those are fun.
Mm-hmm.
You get to one of those if you fuck enough kids from. You
yeah,
know,
become a performance artist. The barrier to entry is nothing.
Yeah,
I think you have to be able to like release any kind of bodily fluid onto a canvas, and then you're a performance artist.
Yeah, but I feel like
if you can
still...
shit. You can, there's a place for you at the table.
You still need a RISD degree, I think.
Do
like,
you?
Yeah, I think like, it's hard for these regular average Joe blue collar pedophiles these days.
Were you with us when we went
to... You need the elite
when
stamps.
We went to RISD, me and...
Shane?
Me and Shane.
I you guys were telling me that it wasn't what you thought.
I mean, I didn't think anything of it, but it was, yeah, it was wild.
You were trolling for puss?
Well, we walked in and there's kids like just laying on the floor doodling. Like just in the like in the, like a fire exit, like just you know some kid with
they were working on their art,
the mixed race haircut, the like broccoli, you know, kind of floppy broccoli,
the weekend haircut,
yeah, just you know, just fucking like doodling
poorly.
Like, I guess this is what art school is.
Yeah,
$7,000 for that. If you break it up per class, like 15 classes a semester, you paid like $438 to draw on a fucking to fuck up a piece of paper art supplies.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
there are a lot worse things you could do with your life.
It's, yeah, apparently it's super expensive, though. I guess RISD, like, even, like, the numbers really get super, like, it's not 36.
Is it a state institution?
I don't know. I don't
know. No, it's not.
The only thing I know about RISD is Family Guy, right? Seth MacFarlane.
I did a show at Brown RISD with Brandon Wardell once,
mm-hmm.
and they got pretty mad at him.
At Brandon Wardell?
Yeah, they got mad at Brandon.
Why?
Because he told it was right after the Kendall Jenner Pepsi ad. And he was like, what if they reshot that with Caitlyn Jenner? And they thought he was being transphobic.
And, yeah, you're not going to lose that 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, and then, yeah, they were like...
That's a great bit, though.
Boo.
And then what? The cop puts the Coke, the Pepsi on his cock?
He didn't. He really... he didn't go beyond
that. He drinks
that.
It with his dick, her dick. She pulls her... Hey, 19-year-old woke art school students. What if Caitlyn Jenner's man penis that he has... He pulled it out of his dress.
See, Brandon,
and the cop, who's in the right, by the way. I don't remember how the commercial went, but the cop was the good guy.
The cop had a gun,
yeah.
And then she gave
and
him
I respect.
A Pepsi.
Let's have 5 minutes of silence for the police officer and the Caitlyn Jenner Pepsi ad.
I think 3 of them would fall out of the ceiling by jumping on their own fucking head. Like 3 of them would just like put their hands in their pockets and dive on their own neck to break it.
Yeah.
If they ever heard that in real life.
Like, yeah.
It's you'd really.
I got in trouble. I did a show at UT when I was like 23 or something, and I said cunt. And they're not even like, I didn't even call someone a cunt. I just like said, you know, I forget what the joke was. It's like, you can't be a cunt while you're, you know, doing. Mm-hmm. And people were on walkie talkies. Like there was like a crisis.
Audience members?
No, like the
fucking staff.
The people that like put the event together, like a 10-8-10, and someone said the C slur, you know, like it was like a fucking big issue.
That's so funny.
Well, Texans are clean. They have like, there's probably like 60% of them that you're not even thinking about are like, come on, man, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy you're having a beer with.
Right.
And he's like, dude, what's with the foul language, man? Yeah. And you're like, holy shit, did you just say that to me?
All we got in Texas, steers, queers, absolutely no slurs.
Yeah, no cussing.
Steers, queers only. No. That's our LGBT.
I'll drag that.
We like Q the most.
Mm-hmm.
I dragged that gay guy from my truck for 20 miles, but I did not say one cuss. Mm.
Hey, pal.
I didn't cuss
I may
him.
Be racist, but I am not transphobic. I may be in the Ku Klux Klan and live in a sundown town, but if any one of my family members decided to cut their penis off, I would be there.
That's fine by
in
me.
In my 10-gallon hat in the waiting room.
I mean, that
waiting
was kind
to
of
kiss
the...
their brand new vagina right in the lips.
That was
playing a big fat kiss.
Just take my 10-gallon hat off and give it a smooch. Welcome to the family.
Yeah. Yeehaw.
Z.
Yeehaw, brother.
That was kind of the fallout from Dole's, although, which was like, everyone's like, you cannot do that for your race.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we, you know. It's as much of a social construct as gender.
You're saying Dole is all valid.
I'm saying if you can cut your penis off and be a lady, why can't you? Why can't you say you?
Yeah, I mean the real test with Dole is all was like what happens after she's canceled. You know, it's like the argument is that she's like exploiting being fucking black for some personal gain or something, or likes being a victim. But after she got canceled, if she didn't like fucking like, all right, I guess I'll fucking straighten my hair out and go work at Joanne Fabrics. Like then, but she's like, she lost everything and now she's just doing braids somewhere.
She does hair. Now.
She does
is
hair.
That really?
Yeah.
For black ladies.
And she's still just black as shit. So it's like, no, that's a black woman.
Yeah, no, she was really undeterred.
Mm-hmm.
I follow her on Instagram and she rocks, dude. Mm-hmm.
She just stayed.
She's about the life.
She stayed the course.
She stayed the course.
She's ripping a black and mild right now.
Right. Yeah,
she changed her name to like a something.
Yeah, she got even more.
She got. She doubled down.
Like
she was.
Like,
it's like
she's fucking Cheryl Swoops.
Nacho Chotle,
yeah, Baraka,
Nestle Coco, something. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's wearing a kufi right now.
Yeah, yeah, real ethnic.
She's about it. Yeah, mm-hmm.
She got her clitoris cut off.
Have you seen?
She got her.
Yeah, she had female genital
mutilation.
She did that. She did that for no reason.
She actually
did that. She was cocked.
Yeah. She shot up the N train last week.
Yeah.
She threw a smoke bomb onto the N train and shot it up.
She's trying out for the X Games. Right?
Yeah.
She's doing all the new things.
She should, dude. She should leapfrog regular black people and just become like full Hotep.
Dude, that would rock.
But yeah. Go even further.
She does, yeah. She also does art too now, that where she paints black women. Primarily.
You get canceled. You know, everybody does the reverse Hitler. They get canceled and then they go art rather than art first, then doing the bad stuff.
Who's buying these paintings though?
The Hunter Biden's friends.
The Hunter Biden collection. Like that's the backbone of your art collection is the. Like the fringy, like you have Dalzell,
John Wayne Gacy, Hunter Biden.
Yep, you got a Hunter Biden.
Did George Bush, George Zimmerman.
What's his name? The guy that shot Reagan?
John Hinckley.
is playing Junior? A show in Brooklyn.
But what kind of show? I saw like a, that.
It's Deep House.
No, no. It's, yeah. No, it's like an acoustic guitar singer songwriter.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go. Oh,
I hope they're fucking insane lyrics.
I want to open for him. No, no, they're like very normal.
Really? They're yeah. Like yeah. Oh, yeah, raindrops. Yeah.
He's just doing like Finger 11 covers.
Finger 11. Yeah. He's doing POD.
I think Sean. I
was, I'm not paralyzed.
Touched by you. He's, right he's doing an acoustic.
Yeah. Was he? He was trying.
Yeah, that was.
He was trying to get
dude.
Pussy off of Jodie Foster.
Yeah, and then Jodie Foster a couple years ago was like, I would fuck him. I'd let him destroy my pussy.
You're the guy from Finger 11?
No, yes, but also Johnny
Depp Jr. I haven't
Hinkley
had Jr. dick in years, but yeah, she said, I'd go back for that guy that shot yeah. Reagan for me.
Yeah.
I'd ride him.
I'd ride
him. I shouldn't be his chair. The only way she's gonna come is if he has the night vision goggles on. Not every time we hang out, they always come like that. Yeah, the 78-82 yeah. version night vision.
John Hinckley just fucking a blind Jodie Foster on night vision.
She's dressed like Melissa Etheridge. She's not hot cop anymore.
Man, it must have been crazy for him to find out she became a lesbian. Yeah. So all of that to get pussy off of this lady. That's why I didn't get pussy off her. It wasn't because she wasn't impressed.
Well, if you're going to fix a lesbian, I mean, I think probably the only option is
kill
the fascist president. If a lesbian's going to give up pussy,
yeah.
You know, I mean, to a man with like a severe mental illness,
yeah,
probably the only way to do it, really, logically, is shoot Ronald Reagan in the head.
Yeah. I mean, that would make sense to me. Mm-hmm. That would get me back on pussy if a lady did that for me.
Yeah.
Dead presidents, make lesbians wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
The idea of dead.
You know what's crazy?
Republican presidents.
Nobody talks about President Garfield, who also was murdered. He was assassinated.
How do you go down?
He was just shot or something, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody. Every other president that's even Reagan who like wasn't even assassinated that they you know that everyone's got that in their head. Kennedy, I guess, obviously Lincoln, but
it's because of the name, dude. No one took him seriously.
Garfield, yeah. But it was before the cat. The cat thing only goes back to the '70s.
No, he changed it.
They didn't have Garfield. Wasn't it was all just but cartoons in the early 1800s were all like an octopus wearing a top hat and his arms just so like. International, yeah.
France.
Internationalization.
Yeah.
Global railway.
Revanchism.
That shit is
fuck
not funny.
Kids.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Freemason butt yeah. Fuck kids.
And what were people doing in like 1810? They were looking at that and being like, ha 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 ha. It's an octopus.
This
octopus.
Is good.
This is hilarious.
This is the good shit.
And then they'd go and then they'd read Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Garfield really changed the game.
Mm hmm.
All the lasagna and God, kill that. Just fucking destroy me.
Are we going to go into the Sunday morning cartoons bit? That's always a classic pool of content of mine for radio chit-chat.
Oh, yeah.
Family Circus. Who the fuck?
Who's reading
Family Circus?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's that little guy with the big nose?
I feel like Sunday morning cartoons, they peaked right after, like, we had been through, like you know, two horrific world wars. So everyone had PTSD.
Yeah.
So they needed like, you know, mentally deflated baby shit to entertain them.
It was the first time like truck drivers are watching like cartoons and they're just blown out.
Yeah, right.
Perfect, the only, just when I needed.
The only way you could appreciate Beetle Bailey is if, like, you know, you had watched your brother's, like, skin
blow his
melt
arm
off. Yeah.
Your brother comes back with a fucking nub, and he's brother!
You lost
like,
so many beautiful boys.
Oh, that's great. It's a kitty cat asking much for lunch. Like, somebody makes popcorn, and he flips out and kills his wife. He just needs Garfield. He needs Garfield to calm him down.
He's drinking an ice cold Budweiser at 9 in the morning to cool off.
Yeah. Well, time to get my hair cut again today. Third time today, get another haircut. Come home, read Garfield.
Take a shower and load my lunch pail for tomorrow.
Fuck my wife and get her pregnant once a year. Scream and cry the whole time.
Then beat the shit out of those little bastards. Yeah, you guys were fuck. You guys were talking about box trucks earlier, and I thought, what the fuck was it? I was so excited about that.
You had a box truck story?
You guys driving box trucks, oh, and the fact that we all at one point realized that driving 26-foot box trucks without a CDL, because like we have like Chinese RISD students that rent them.
Yeah,
they're like, I'm moving my studio.
Yeah,
and every now and then you'll just like look in the window of a 26-foot box truck and see like a 5'2" like Chinese
and
art
he's
student
crying.
Yeah. Okay, I will go.
Like driving like a drunk driver down, and like when I'm a pretty good driver, I used to drive dump trucks and stuff, like, but when I drive those I feel like a lunatic, like this is illegal, this feels like I'm on my way to 9/11 too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and these things are like at U-Haul, these like bombs for rent.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy because they let you rent 30-foot trucks too, and the difference the difference between a 16-foot truck and a 20-foot truck is like huge. That's a big jump.
Oh, one is a school bus. So
yeah, 16-foot, like anyone can drive that. But once you're driving a 20-foot truck, like you really need to be aware of like the space.
Yeah,
because it's two whole car lengths.
Yeah, and there's a moderate air brake. That's kind of a weird thing to get used to, like just a psst,
yeah,
psst.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're not used to that when you're driving your Honda Fit.
But a 30-foot truck, that's like, you know, it's another fucking 30% larger than a 20-foot truck, and that's you should have to have a CDL to drive one.
It's the equivalent of letting like anybody like drive like commercial lawnmowers through like Times Square.
Yeah,
and there's like 6,000. It's like, it's very lethal.
Yeah,
it's like someone holding a lawnmower while walking down the street with the blades coming at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right now, these are all just legal things. I like thinking about things.
Yeah, it's crazy because you need a CDL to drive a bus, but only because of the amount of seats that it has in it.
Right.
So you can drive a truck the same length, the same vehicle.
Right.
As long as it doesn't have seats in it, you can drive without a CDL.
How the fuck did that loophole go through?
Reagan. That's why fucking Hinckley shot him, dude.
He was pissed.
He was like, I grew up on a safe, tiny bus for me and Jim Gaffigan. And then you put these, you know.
Jody Foster suck my dick in.
Mm-hmm. What's the idea behind the short bus? Is they're like, well, there's not going to be that many retarded kids. There can't be that many of them.
We just a guess. A stab in the dark.
Yeah, we need a smaller
bus.
It's
going to be half as many as the regular kids.
Mm-hmm.
They were rich on that. That's what they
should do? Because you know how regular schools will have a couple of mentally handicapped kids?
Yeah.
They should have mentally handicapped schools, and then they put a couple of regular kids in there.
Yeah.
And then they ride the short bus.
They're just the fucking Mac. They're getting laid constantly.
No, I mean, they're a minority in that social group, so they would be like...
Picked on?
Yeah, they'd be picked on. They'd be nerds. There'd be a guy, you know, it's in the class.
Straight eyes.
Yeah, the teacher would be like, what's 2 + 2? And then the kid would be like, man, I guess it's 4. And they'd be like, oh, here comes Poindexter. Oh, what's that, professor? He's just not getting any pussy.
He's not getting any. And then one girl.
They're like, you never get any pussy. He's like, yeah, it's illegal. I can't fuck anyone in this school. I'd go to jail.
But I'll try my hardest.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, they'll work at Market Basket. Like I caught Market Basket near us. Like there's an abnormal amount of retarded people working there.
Yeah.
Right now, I work at a car dealership. I sell cars, but next door to it is a Market Basket. We go grab lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Whole Foods Light, and they have like a. I mean, I'm not. It's 40% or something. Like it's a conscious effort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because they get fucking rebates from the state.
So you go in there
and you think like, oh wow, these heroes.
It's good.
That's slave labor.
It is slave labor. This kid's riding around on like a motorized cart, like making whistling noises.
Yeah, and then the company gets paid by the state to have them work there.
But I saw a bus.
Yeah.
I saw a bus drop off. So if you're like the general manager of a market, like you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, hey, we got 15 of them today.
Yeah.
Like there's got to be some shit like flying on release. Yeah. Like one of them just got his hand in like the fruit or something like that.
Yeah, there's just some guy in a seersucker suit that comes out of the bus. He's like, I've got a wonderful selection for you today.
We're going to line them up.
We got get up on the block, Eddie.
Shining him up with Vaseline. Like.
Show the gentleman your penis, Eddie.
He has the strength of two men.
Like a bull. He's like a bull, like an oxen.
Pick up that box down yonder.
Look at the viscosity of his saliva.
Look at this
That's
specimen.
How you can tell the vitality of him by the viscosity of his saliva.
He's snapping his fingers in his face.
You could oil a jet engine with that sputum. Look at it. That's deep mucus. That comes from the gut.
Oh, my heavens.
Now, we fill him up with Reese's Pieces in the morning. He starts producing that thick saliva. Ready for a jet engine. Oil a whole locomotive with just a morning's dose of this boy's spit. Get in there. Push them cars, boy.
Look at him run. Look at his gait.
That would be 50 cents for the day. If you want the helmet with, that's another 25 cents. And he's going to need that helmet. I'm telling you now, he's going to need that helmet. You bonk him up the head, he ain't got too many points left on the chart. I mean, he gets starting out maybe around 68. You fucking whack him with a hammer. He's down in the low 40s. He becomes nonverbal. And you better have those Reese's Pieces ready.
Fuel him up. Get him back on the
floor. He's
going to
get violent on you. I lost a daughter to him. I know. I lost a daughter to that boy.
This one's real near and dear to his heart. He's caused a lot of personal pain. He's been with him for years.
He snapped a neck. She let him touch his hair. She knows. I told him, do not let that boy touch your hair. I sat her down. I put the Steinbeck movie on. Fast forwarded right to the end. I said, this is what's going to happen. You let that boy touch your hair.
I turn around for 1 second.
He throttled her. He thought he could twist the whole head off and she'd be filled with Sierra Mist. He thinks people are soda. We tried to tell him that ain't a 2 liter, it's a young woman.
It's got to be, I mean, like that conversation that has to happen though. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you have that? It's kind of like, you know, Shane actually talked about it, but like you think about it, you're like, You gotta know. Like, in there, it's an exciting amount of retarded people. Mm-hmm. Like, you look around, you're like, holy shit, it's like half and half.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Rolling around and like, wow, it's like, and they got it down. Everybody's suited.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fun thing to think about. Like, is the labor force now is like total trash.
It's gotta suck to be a normal guy and work there. Be like, you know,
yeah.
Okay, well, I fucked up.
I'm 28.
I fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I could have been a doctor, but I could have worked at a normal grocery store.
I'm a union grocer. Because yeah. I think they're union.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm a union.
So they're getting $17 an hour.
I'm getting $17 an hour to, like, fucking pick up, like, a retarded kid with a helmet on that just run his head through a fucking toilet paper.
Right. He's drowning in the yogurt case.
This is my life now.
Suffocating on fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, those guys can't get fired.
No.
Those union retards.
Mm-hmm.
They're good men out there.
What are the grounds, though? There's got to be one.
Yeah.
There's
got
to be like one bad boy.
We're organizing the local 40, and somebody's like, how about local 15? Maybe around 5.
That's too high.
40's a lot.
Yeah, you want danger.
Whoa, yeah.
There's one bad boy named Johnny. He's got like a greaser haircut. He's a retarded kid. He's still fucking the girl that works inside. Yeah. He's picking her up on his like what he thinks is a Harley Davidson.
It's a Harley with training wheels.
It's not. It's just it's like a cardboard cutout that he's walking around. He's got like a badass leather jacket. With like, it's a legit Hell's. He's in the Hell's Angels.
Yeah.
Which we saw some on the way up here. Some Hell's Angels on the way here.
They used to have a clubhouse in the East Village.
No, we met him. Well, you met him.
Well, we both met him.
You guys should join.
No, one night Nick and I spent a couple hours with one of them, and I don't think accept me.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think I'd meet the criteria.
It was pretty like
you were talking about books.
It was pretty tragic because
really,
like, yeah. I mean, you know, like I don't know. I mean, I felt bad for the guy, but
he was second generation.
Yeah,
so second generation Hell's Angel.
Yeah, you could tell that he was born into it.
Born into it, and then it's like once you get past, it's like cool. I'm in a biker gang.
Mm.
It's like then your life is just like
he was like Bobby Bacala. He could have done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like he's just backhanding a woman named Sherry across like a lake house.
Yeah, right, because you know what? It's like being Hunter Biden. You know, Hunter Biden. I read the book. I read the laptop book.
Did you?
Yeah, and it really. It's funny because it's like I buy all that shit. The like fucking like any book that's featured on Tucker Carlson or like that's mostly a compilation of like racist Substack articles. I'll buy that, self-publish it on Amazon and read it. And like the Hunter, the laptop from hell book, it's written by a New York Post reporter.
Yeah.
I don't know if you followed that story, but
is it a fantastic laptop filled with great stuff or is
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Well, there was a computer repair shop in Delaware in Wilmington where this legally blind albino guy that fixes computers, mm-hmm. Hunter Biden comes in, drops off his laptop, fucking like coked out of his mind.
With his Finger Lakes tattoo on his back? Yeah. fresh Finger Lake ink tattoo on his back?
And you know, this, you know, he like never picked the laptop back up. The guy waits like 90 days and he had to like back up the hard drive. So he backs up the hard drive, but in doing that, he can see what's on the laptop. And he's like, there's stuff on here that seems like kind of criminal. So he contacted the FBI. The FBI never got back to him. And then so he gave it to Rudy Giuliani, who was the only person that responded to this legally blind, like you know, albino, you know. Like,
what the fuck is that?
I don't know.
What kind of, like, why? Why can't it, like, that?
Yeah. Like Casper from Me, Myself, and Irene. Like that guy.
Yeah, that's, yeah, Milky.
Yeah, Milky, yeah. Yeah. And fucking... Rudy Giuliani's the only guy that takes the thing. So then this guy's like, the poor guy was like fucking like harassed, lost his business. He had to go into hiding because of, you know, like Twitter drama over turning this laptop in. But the New York...
All the Hunter Biden art collectors were coming after.
The New York Post was like, they reported on it, but this was like in October. So Twitter banned the New York Post from Twitter. Like they deleted their account for like disseminating disinformation.
Yeah.
And then that turned into this big like political thing or whatever. But Miranda Devine at the New York Post like wrote a book on what's in the laptop. Now the market for the book is like conservatives that are like, you know, all Democrats are pedophiles, you know, like just like people that hate Hunter Biden, they hate Joe Biden or whatever. But like reading it, if you know, you just like it because you know it's entertaining. You know, because I'm an idiot. So when I look at the, like, here's what I like about conservative news is like you don't have to learn anything. Like, I'm staying, like, informed. Yeah. And what that means is I've just seen 6 or 7 pictures of Hunter Biden's penis. That's that's reading the news for me.
That's I've seen it.
I've just seen his...
He's got a nice hog.
Right. I could go to a dinner party and tell you about Hunter Biden's penis, and that's me being, like, worldly.
That's really big of you.
But it's funny. Like, reading the book, it's like, I don't know how you can read that and not just feel, like, just heartbroken for Hunter Biden.
Really?
Because, yeah, I mean, it's like, life fucking sucks, dude. It's like
he's smoking crack about it. He's not too pumped about it.
Well, he's had all this. He's
in a lot of pain.
He's born into all this privilege, but it's like immediately loses his mom and his like fucking sister in a car accident as a child. Then that like tragedy.
That sacrifices his family immediately for political gain.
Yes,
to,
right
for the blood god. For smashes political gain. 2 pieces of marble at an obelisk underneath the White House. Yes,
yeah. He gets dumped onto like an aunt and a grandma or something while Joe goes to Washington to be a fucking senator. Then Joe remarries, and then, like, I guess he has a weird relationship. He's always treated as, like, a fucking liability or whatever. And,
his
like,
brother
and his whole life as an adult has just been, like, to be, like, a fucking bag man for the Biden family. So he gets set up with these fake jobs where, you know, nobody respects him. He can't do anything. And then he gets a paycheck, and then he has to use the paycheck to, like, pay Joe Biden's AT&T bill. that's the way they launder the money is like he just like he has to pay contractors to get their like houses fixed. He's like, so he doesn't like keep any of the money.
He's just a he's
and then his brother dies and he's in like some like fucking like drug addled like, you know, like a hallucinatory state and starts fucking his brother's brother's fucking like wife.
As one, you know, you should always do that.
That's honorable.
You should do like a salute.
It's like the movie Pearl Harbor. It's he's
just an absolute fucking like tragedy fuck up to the like it's he has such an unsympathetic problem being like the president's son who's like a millionaire kid that it, like there's a deeper level of like empathy you have to have for him because it's like his life like obviously this person's suffering. And it's not like, oh, he's a little girl with cancer. Nobody feels bad for Hunter Biden.
Not a soul.
Nobody.
Yeah. I'm even like, as you're saying it, I'm like, would I actually?
Yeah, right. No. But if you sit there and have to read through it for fucking, you know, 3 hours or however long it takes to get through that piece of shit, it's like, you know, you can't help but just. And now he's like, his new thing now is like, because, you know, it's like, oh, well, his paintings. And then, you know, like Tucker Carlson, all these guys go crazy for his, like, his another money laundering scam where he sells these bullshit paintings in the White House. And it's like, you know, he didn't want to paint those paintings. He just has to, like, Joe's like, we're going to make a bunch of shitty paintings.
Yeah,
you're going to draw a bunch of garbage, and everybody's going to call you a fucking faggot shitty painter also.
No matter what, that's coming down the pipeline.
Now at 50 years old, on top of being a pedophile, an incestuous pedophile, now you have to be a shitty artist
who
also.
Who fucked your brother's wife, and now you have pretty, honestly, yeah. pretty good apps. Like, his,
gotta,
his paintings aren't
you
that
gotta
bad.
Do
they're
that
not that
I'm,
bad.
Because I'm,
not
trying,
that
to, bad. I'm yeah. trying to get a Quibi subscription. I can't
find And if you could just go ahead and send me the password for this godforsaken right. thing.
And you're going to pay for my Netflix this month.
Oh, very funny. You set the password as I killed your mother for a blood sacrifice, a marble obelisk blood drink. God damn it. Jack yeah. is Freemason. Ha, ha, ha. Very funny.
Yeah, then having to live in his brother's shadow, too, because, like, Bo was set up to be the one where it's like, he's going to be, he's going to have the political
career. He's going
to
be the new senator from Delaware.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was Bo Obama's dog's name?
Yeah.
Was that a funny joke?
Yeah, it was. It was like, this is how much I respect your dead son.
Biden.
Isn't that like a little insane?
Yeah. It's kind of mean.
That'd be like if you told me like a terrible, like, hey, my cousin Jen sucks dick for Vicodin.
Yeah.
And then you're just getting blown by my cousin Jen. You're ripping, like, you're cracking a Vicodin off the top of the back of her head.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Ripping lines off. And you're like, dude, she does suck. But shit, her fucking molars are missing. Yeah. So you're going to get an infection. But it's just very, now that you think about it in hindsight, he's been getting tooled on as a.
Yeah,
poor bastard,
and
poor
he just bastard. Can't
and then,
stay.
And then
sober.
His friends are like his
stand-ups,
like,
aren't they?
No, his only friends in the world are like his dead brother's wife, who he's a drug addict with, and then they have this like, and then like Sasha Obama.
The other one?
Hey, Sasha, it's me.
Those are the only people that he can, like, hang out with.
It's 3:30 in the morning. He's calling her at Harvard or wherever she's
around. Yeah, and then, like, Secret Service agents that shouldn't be on his detail anymore. They come after, like, clean up his mess.
Hey,
just imagine you're trying to kill yourself with drugs. You're too much of a pussy to actually do it because there's nothing. You know that, like, that would just add to the tragedy. It's not like you can restore your dignity even in death. You know, like, if you killed yourself, there would just be pictures of your asshole.
Like, you shit your pants after
right,
you shot
exactly.
yourself.
You're just asshole is on the front page headlines. Absolute fucking loser faggot finally does what everyone wanted him to do. So because of that, he can't just put the gun in his mouth. He has to just keep shooting, like, you know, heroin into his arm and smoking crack. And then the minute, like the second before you're finally about to overdose and maybe get like a shred of like hope that people will just let you rest. Fucking guys in sunglasses kick down the door and drag you back to Joe Biden's fucking house in Delaware, where he's like, I love you, son. I love
you're
you.
You're my beautiful boy.
You're my beautiful boy, and I love you, and family's important. And then he's just smiling to a camera behind you, and then fucking having like a conversation with the Easter Bunny about Ukraine.
Where his fucking lower, his face is half blown off, and he's survived a facial gunshot wound where he has no mandible and only top teeth.
Yeah.
And he's like a. I don't know, just the fucking, he's a mummy for the rest of his life.
Yeah, no, it's truly heartbreaking.
Doesn't he hang out with stand-ups in L.A.?
Does
Hunter?
He?
Does he?
Which stand-ups?
I can see L.A. stand-ups doing that.
Yeah, those, like comedy store
that
guys?
That world being like, yeah, I just became friends with
Hunter.
Yeah, right. No, they would, honestly, if Jeffrey Epstein like somehow beat the charges and then hung out at the comedy store, I guarantee you there'd
be
L.A.
He'd
be
on
comedy.
The Fighter and the Kid
podcast. Exactly. Jeffrey Epstein just talking about sneakers on
like
Bobby Lee's
surfing.
Podcast.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
He's opening for Schultz.
Yeah, right. I'm sure that would happen.
But, no, do you like Crazy Days and Nights?
I used to back in the day.
Nick
really
got really into it.
I was super obsessed forever. Yeah, I used to check it like daily, like news.
Yeah.
And I still do.
Yeah.
What's going on these days?
Because Hunter Biden's hanging out with those four comedians who want to, you know, like four people who bought a bag of Coke and like
three of them died.
Yeah.
One girl survived.
Yeah.
Supposedly that girl fucked Hunter Biden.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
But she's like a stand up rally. But like, I would love to know. I'd be like, so, you know. But apparently, like, she, like, it got a little hot right there. Like, something, Crazy Days and Nights was writing about that. They were, like, they were, like, in that.
Yeah. Oh, and then the powers that be kind of leaned,
like,
on them?
Yeah, they're like, eee.
Damn.
Yeah. What was your favorite Crazy Days and Nights reveal? Do you guys have a, what's the best one you ever?
Well, it never happened, but there was a story that the girl that Don, the child prostitute that Don Henley, like, because, you know, he killed, one of them overdosed, and then the other one just became, like, a runaway or whatever. There was a Crazy Days and Nights blind item years ago that she grew up, wound up married to like fucking like Gavin Newsom or something, like wound up married to like some California like politician that had a significant degree of power, and she had the receipts on Don Henley and his manager and producer at the time. Do you know the story?
I remember the Don Henley thing was like a big, pretty wasn't it pretty gruesome? Was he handsy? Was he
well,
rifling
it wasn't
punches?
Handy. You know the song Dirty Laundry?
I thought it was a girl OD'd at his house,
they're like,
a child.
You know, like, I make my living on the evening news. You know the song?
Keep going.
Give me something.
That's pretty good.
Something I can use.
I don't know.
People love it when you lose. They love dirty laundry.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, yes, yeah. I do know it now.
It's a great song. Amazing song. And it's about him killing a 15-year-old girl. and KTLA not shutting up about it.
I'm feeling inspired. No. How fucking coke mirrored do you have to be to fucking wake up and fucking
it was the
those?
80s, dude. Yeah.
That's the 80s.
It was the 80s,
that's when you're just like rock and suffocating roll. A 15-year-old.
Yeah, that was the time,
that's
man.
What makes rock and roll
baby.
But here's the thing. That's one of the few songs that comes out of the late 70s that actually has any heart behind it. You know, it's not just some like ironically detached bullshit. Things were either heady or meaningless. That's the only thing that would, like, you know, Don Henley spoke from his heart when he was like, get off my back. Yeah, I murder kids. that's what
leave me alone.
You know, if you look, if you don't want to know how the sausage is made, stay the fuck out of the kitchen.
How am I going to hammer out fucking hits like this when you guys are busting my balls over here? If I want to choke a fucking a high school freshman, let me.
Yeah. I don't know if he was handsy, but the story is he got two prostitutes, a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old, just little streetwalkers, and he brought them up to his house in the hills. And then one of them overdosed. He had to call the police, and the police show up, but also his manager and like a bunch of like, you know, cleanup crews, basically. And he just said there was like 27 grams of cocaine. He was like, yeah, that's the girls. It's like, yeah, it's a 15-year-old has, what is that? $30,000 worth of fucking cocaine.
She's fucking wicked good drug dealer.
Yeah, right, yeah. Just some massive amount of cocaine he pinned on like the little girl. And then they, you know, they just like scooped the kids out of there. The one girl that overdosed, I think she survived that night. They brought her back to life, and then she wound up, they found her dead under the 101, like maybe 3 months later. But you know, they cleaned up the whole thing. Like the way, you know. And there was a reporter at KTLA that wouldn't drop the story. She kept reporting on it, and it's like, why isn't he facing charges? Why isn't anything happening with this?
He's fucking strutting around the Beverly Hills Hotel. He's got a 10-year-old in a headlock.
But crazy days and nights. They had a blind item that I guess the other girl, she had grown up and fucking made something of her life and got married to a politician who I'm sure didn't have his own dirty fucking laundry.
He's like, that's nothing.
Yeah,
I steamrolled a fucking kindergarten class one time.
Yeah,
but that didn't end up being true.
It just didn't, like, if she was supposed to come forward with receipts and it didn't happen.
Oh no.
So, you know, who knows,
dude? The Eagles, man. Yeah, they couldn't come back from that.
Yeah,
they were America's first boy band, you know that?
Yeah,
they were like some label put them together.
A gay man put them
together. A gay guy. It's the old Jewish gay man.
His creed is like
it would be
too?
Cute if you were on the guitar.
Shake your little booty with Mr. Tambourine Man.
Isn't Credence like that too? Isn't that the kind
was
of...
Was Credence like that?
I think so. Weren't really? They like kind of like produced or like put together?
I think Finger 11 was like that too.
Yeah. No, those bands, that was the return to like, we got to do music for real. And that's why it sucked for so long, because people forgot how to make music, and it was up to like Canadians with like with ear gauges.
Yellow Oakley fucking yellow Oakleys on, unironically.
Yeah.
That's the best Crazy Days and Nights. Oh, not the best, just one of the. I like the Hulk Hogan story was the craziest one.
What was that?
It's out of control, and I don't even like. I feel like
he knocked up his sister, his daughter's friend.
That he banged his daughter.
Oh, he fucked his daughter.
That's what that was. Wow. One of them. It was the most insane thing. I remember like sharing it with Charles, just being like,
his reality show was sickening. I remember watching that when
Hogan
it was on.
Knows best.
Hogan knows best
because it's like it's the whole thing is to like, you know, it's to sell you on the idea that like he may be a millionaire steroid addict with CTE, but he's he's a good father that shows tough love to his family. And it's like this is fake. This is all fake because you would watch a show and it'd be like, well, what's the son's name?
Nick.
Hulk too.
Nick.
It's like, he almost died, right?
Right. They'd
he
be killed like,
his boy.
They'd be like, well, you got to get your home. You want to go hang out with your friends? You got to get your homework done. It's like that's the episode,
brother.
The next
say
day,
prayers, eat your vitamins, smash your friend's head.
Right, the next day on TMZ, he's like, you know, fucking killed 8 people in a drunk driving accident. And then the next episode of the show is like, did you get your homework done? It's just so like detached from the reality. It was like PR for the family.
Brooke Hogan's got a meeting with Scott Storch on a boat.
I remember that, dude.
Remember that part? It was very
that kind of tanked Scott's career. He was like giving some of his best beats to Brooke Hogan.
Brooke Hogan,
yeah. And he got also addicted to yachts and cocaine.
From Hulk Hogan.
No, I don't know about that, but
he was like this, hey, you ever see a big boat, brother? He's like, yeah, I guess so.
Can you imagine getting addicted to yachts?
Hulk Hogan being your pusher man? Yeah. Like, hey, Hulk, hey, Terry. He's his first name.
Terry,
like,
yeah.
Hey, Terry, you going out on the bay this week? Actually, yeah. I am, brother. Yeah. So I guess, oh, fuck, get me off this
but
shit.
But that's the origin story for a lot of those guys. There was some weird freak named Terry with a chip on their shoulder, yeah. So they just lived in the gym forever until they became famous.
They became, Hulk, but Hulk Hogan banged blonde women that looked like his wife.
Mm-hmm.
My first joke that ever got me into comedy was me telling people that that Hulk Hogan used to do Brooke's laundry. And I made that up, and I never told people I was joking. I used to just spread rumor because he was always like kind of weird with his daughter. And I
yeah,
just
he wanted him. To fuck his daughter.
It was
for
obvious.
Sure.
Like, everybody watching was like, "Dude, could you?" This guy wants to fuck.
He's
his
like
daughter.
He's like one of those dads who's like, "She's the most beautiful woman in the entire
world." What's their? Are they German?
The whole time.
Are they German? What's their last name?
Hogan?
No, that's Irish, but
that's not the real name. It's like
character.
Bulba or something. It's like
oh,
Sebulba.
Balea. Terry Balea.
Terry Sebulba.
Yeah, they're aliens. Balea is Martian, though.
Balea? Yeah, they're Vietnamese aliens, pod racers. So yeah. That's it. That's what that explains the.
Yeah, underneath that skull, it's like fucking wires. Mm-hmm. But wires that want to do his daughter's like somewhere in the programming. Yeah. Fucking one of the alien coders.
He just
was
wants
a fucking pervert.
Dip his skin whiskers into her pussy.
And watch his son drift a Supra. Skin.
Yeah,
don't drift your Supra underneath a tractor trailer truck with your buddy in it. Because
did he die, the son?
I think no. The his but he went to jail for 6 months. Mm. We were just talking about this son on the podcast about, and we were looking it up. So yeah. I can speak fluent Nick Hogan.
Yeah.
And they're doing promos now. Like life hit.
You know what would be a great podcast is Nick Hogan, Ethan Couch, and Brock Turner.
Who's Ethan Couch?
Ethan Couch was the first, that kid that fucking killed a bunch of people in his car. And he had priors and he was 16. And the judge said he had affluenza.
Oh, affluenza. Oh. Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And then
kid.
He didn't even, he only had to do like a month in jail. And him and his mom went on the lam. She like dyed his hair finger 11 orange and went to Mexico.
In the middle of it?
Yeah, they just went to Mexico and were trying to like hide in Mexico. And then they found them. But yeah, Ethan Couch was the other one. But I would love to listen to just an hour of them. I would love to hear them on Don Henley.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
Don's a real piece of shit. Yeah. I mean, I just fucking like to go fast in my car.
Yeah.
Don Henley's over here smothering fucking.
I fingered a girl behind the dumpster because I thought I was cool. And then everyone wants me to go to prison for the rest of my life.
Dude, I have to quit swimming because of that shit.
Mm-hmm. I'll never swim again.
This
and now,
fucking
look,
bullshit.
You took Brock Turner out of swimming. And look, I hate to say that, you know, but I told you so. It was a slippery slope. They took swimming away from him. Now swimming being ruined by trans people.
Yeah, it's true.
It's because Brock Turner was the vanguard.
You're about to make a great point. You're about to make a salient point.
Brock Turner was the last samurai of swimming.
Yes.
His swimming career was the...
And you get rid of him, and now here comes Leah Thomas. And if you think fingering was the worst thing to happen in college swimming, just wait until Leah, you know... Dries off. Doesn't feel the wetness of the pool and needs to be lubed up again. And where's she going to turn? The locker room.
I like the stories about her, the locker room.
The Leah Turner
locker room?
Leah Thomas.
Is it Leah Thomas?
It is.
Leah Thomas. Mm-hmm. It's some fun shit going
on.
No,
Leah Turner is from the Brock Turner family.
They should call her Thomas the Tank Engine on the team. You know, it's like, you know how they have the jerseys with the, just Thomas
just
the Tank.
Just fuck with her, give her like a real masculine nickname. Yeah. Let's go, Brutus.
Tommy the Tank Engine.
Fuck him up. Woo! Everybody's real bro-y at the swim meets. She's going to fucking murder you, pussy. Shit talking girls throwing full cups
just
of Coca-Cola at
doing fucking suck it.
You dumb fucking bitch.
What are they saying about the locker rooms?
That she's just like real loose with her cock.
She's snapping towels.
It's not like she's not being like respectful or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Dude, Jesus. Seeing Miss Man in Scary Movie. Do you remember that joke?
Dude, we watched Scary Movie.
The female gym teacher in Scary Movie. Yeah. They just put like a male bodybuilder in women's clothes.
And her testicles flopped out.
The character's name is Miss Man.
Yes.
Just going around the locker room.
That's really when you could do comedy right. Yeah. You know, you could hit all the notes.
But we were watching the Harvey show from like 30 years ago. And there's a joke where there's a trans character in the classroom, and he was like, you know, we all want to support what's her name on her transition or whatever, and it's like very,
yeah,
you know, like contextually appropriate, you know, for now.
But also, the joke is that she's a piece of ass now.
Yeah, she's a piece of ass, and then Romeo fucks her by accident.
Really?
Yeah, and then he's like, he's like, you know what? I'm gonna let that slide. When Romeo starts macking on her, you know what? He just does a little spin. Then the last half of the episode is him just spinning and checking his eyebrows and his hair.
Wait, but the one we watched last week. They got trapped inside of an insane asylum. Yeah, an insane asylum.
Yeah,
they're like, we ain't retarded.
Did they say that?
No, they didn't say it. We were watching it on mute, but that was what
I
could tell was happening.
They were.
I knew what they were saying.
Yeah, I knew what they were saying.
They were definitely. That was really big of Steve. Oh, Steve Harvey doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah, no, he never one misstep.
Yeah. You guys are big Steve Harvey fans?
Actually, honestly, yes.
Yeah.
His stand-up is like world class. I mean, he's like one of the best comedians.
He's
of,
the best,
literally of all time.
The Titanic bit on the Kings of Comedy special is one of the best.
Well, I mean, go back honestly. People clown on him because he's had like a daytime television career, but go back and watch any Steve Harvey special and like you can't. I mean,
like, no, I can't poke a hole in Steve Harvey's
career. You really can't. And also,
the man is an institution,
especially compared to like the dog shit that's out now.
Oh,
you know, I mean, how bad fucking comedy is now. Uh-huh. No one is. Comedy used to just be funny, and Steve Harvey was one of the guys that was just funny. You watch it and you laugh. You're not thinking like, okay, well, what does this bit mean? Or
where's he going?
He's supporting fascism.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, he made one mistake, which was the Miss Universe pageant, but I don't even think that was a misstep. He was just telling them that if it wasn't you, it could be you.
Is that what his response was?
No.
He's a sweetie.
He's like, No, he messed that up, and I think he felt really bad. But you know what?
What did he do with the mission?
He just said the wrong...
He said the wrong name.
The wrong bitch. Yeah. He said the wrong lady.
Wait, it's weird they're still doing envelopes at award shows, because there's been a lot of envelope fuck-ups.
Oh, yeah. That happened at the Oscars, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did that? Who was the culprit?
I don't know.
For that reason,
was it also Steve Harvey?
It should all be Proctor.
You just can't get it right.
I wrote on this cable, basic cable, like, comedy variety show. And they would have like comedians on as guests, and at the end of the episode, the format of the show was like a game show, and whoever lost had to like do an apology that was like written for them. And we had one comic on. I'm not going to say who it was, but they had him read off the prompter, and he was like illiterate.
Oh no!
Just didn't know how to read.
Like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, it was like every third word he could get.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was Terry Bollea.
Yeah, it was. It was Terry Sebulba.
Terry Bollea from Florida. He's got a bar and grill now.
Yeah,
I really want to go to his bar and grill.
I'm going to fuck my daughter.
Brother, let me tell you something. When Linda cleaned me out, he had like $100 million or something. Something like really. I remember his net worth being like really impressive.
Yeah. Well, he won that Gawker case, so he probably he must have collected that money, right?
When they liquidate
Gawker's assets, he gets the money. If Gawker went out of business, it's not like they can fight the case anymore.
That Peter Thiel doesn't get any of the money. I guess he was doing that out of the goodness of his heart.
I don't think that is that how that worked. I mean, I guess he probably had some.
He had to pay the lawyers back, probably.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with 35 printers and a bunch of laptops, brother? Like that's their assets.
Mm-hmm.
Like an office full of like two pallets of printer paper.
Yeah.
Like, what are their salary? Like, what's the net worth of a company that
Gawker?
There's no cash reserves.
Yeah.
They can. Like, yeah, what's the EBITDA?
It's a computer news blog.
Where's
they don't make any money.
What's the asset?
Yeah.
He's like, brother, I got Nicholas and those laptops on eBay.
Right. A bunch of IMAX and then the industrial elevator that had to carry Lindy West up to the third floor of the Gawker office.
That was actually $35,000. Yeah, I sold it to a guy, developer.
The $800 million for AC-130 that had to fly Lindy and airdrop her into the office every day.
That was a big... Thank God for that.
Yeah. The Lindy transport plane is really where the money came in.
Yeah, fuck you, Linda. I ended up with something, you bitch. She must have been really embarrassed.
Dude,
when she was watching her show.
That picture of Lindy West. Lindy West had a show called like Squeal or Squeech or Screech.
Her show?
Yeah, what's it called?
Shrill.
Shrill, yes. Yeah. Shrill. And they cast A.D. Bryan as Lindy, like Lindy's Uh-oh. Character, basically. But, you know, like A.D.'s like, you know, like a heavier girl or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a picture of her next to Lindy West. And Lindy is easily five times the size.
She's a fucking Honda Civic.
It's a, no. I mean, it's real. It's jarring to see. It's like when they do one of those things to be like, and this is how big the Titanic was compared to the Empire
State Building.
This is
a Brontosaurus versus a school bus.
Yeah. No, it was wild. Like when they explain planets to children.
Yeah. That's fun. Like super wealthy, fat. Like a morbidly obese. Mm-hmm. That's like something special.
Well, I knew people that worked with her, because like her whole thing was always like, it's okay to be big or whatever. But, you know, like people would say like, yeah, it's like we're worried about her. It's like wild how
we're worried about her. You look over, she's in a fucking wicked nice office with glass windows, wiping her ass with a fucking stick, like a log with a towel on
it. Well, it's a glass corner office that's just filled out like an ice cube tray, just like a cube of skin with an angry face pressed up against the window.
Is it lunch yet? I'm done blogging.
Two maintenance workers with wheelbarrows full of food, like, huffing it through the door, being absorbed into the skin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably what happened. It's special to be that big. Like the 600 pounders are so smelly and big.
Yeah. Well, we were worried about, because Stav lost the use of his legs a couple years ago. He was handicapped. He was handicapped for 3 months.
He hurt his plantar fascia.
And he tore his plantar fascia.
Yeah. He jumped six and a half inches.
The plantar fascia is
it's on the bottom of your foot, a thick band of fascia.
Which like covers like it holds all, it's, you know, you have your skeleton and then you have your like the loose stuff and then the fascia kind of holds everything together. So the bottom of your foot is this thick band of
tendon
basically, yeah, that tore. So it takes a while to heal. So he couldn't walk for 3 months. And like, we were real worried that this is going to be it. This is going to be Stav turning into like a TLC show.
A hole in the wall.
He finally got a TV credit.
He was at a certain point, just like wheeling himself around in a computer chair in his apartment. He'd run out of underwear, so he was just wearing bathing suits.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's the move. That's the fat guy move. Blake hurt his back a couple years ago when he was in a bathing suit in his dark apartment watching WrestleMania on an old like computer monitor. One of the funniest things, this guy Blake, I used to be friends with back in Austin. Mm-hmm. I lived with the guy Chris. Chris was also morbidly obese, like fucking, didn't take care of himself. And Blake hurt his back getting out of like a cab or something. And I had to go over there and like feed him Percocet because he couldn't move.
Water him down or?
Yeah. So Blake had a one bedroom apartment. So you go in the apartment, there's a living room, the kitchenette, and then in the back, the one bedroom. And I don't know how it happened, but in his bedroom, I was like, dude, you know what you should do is rip the ceiling fan out, put a projector, turn the bedroom into a movie theater. And I said that as a joke. And the next time I go over there, there's fucking ceiling fans on the floor. And he's turned it into, a game. And he's just played Modern Warfare on this 200-inch screen. They didn't have a bed. There was just a couch.
He gained 140 pounds thanks to your news.
Yeah, and then the bulb on the projector blew out. So he couldn't use it anymore. So the bedroom was just dark. And he was sleeping on a couch with, like, wires draped from where the AV output was to just an old computer monitor. And he hurt his back. So I go over there. And he had ordered pizza for the week. It's like he had ordered Papa John's for like the entire, because he didn't want to get up and go to the door. And so I would have to come up to the apartment and just give, like, open a new can of Coke from his like 4 day Papa John's order and put a Percocet in his mouth. And he's sitting there and he's got like just a sheet covering his like ass watching WrestleMania in the dark in this room. And he's like, I got to start taking care of myself. I don't want to turn into Chris. There is one guy, just sitting there, just disgusting, getting bed sores on your body, being like, well, at least I'm not Chris.
What's Chris doing? Like, who the fuck?
Chris lost the weight.
Chris never lost the weight, but Chris got a haircut at least.
Oh, he got a haircut.
Yeah. Chris also had a projector apartment. We lived together, but I had moved out, and then he didn't pay the electricity bill. So that apartment was also dark, and he had an extension cord that ran to the maintenance guy's shed where he was stealing electricity. And then that was like, there was like the refrigerator was like hooked up to a surge protector.
And like near him? Was it like,
Yeah. He would just wheel around the apartment on an office chair, and there was no furniture in there, and also a projector. But yeah, I mean, very similar lifestyle back. That's old Austin. People talk about the new. Yeah. When people say Austin was ruined, it means that there's no room to be a guy like that in Austin anymore. Because that's what the vibe of the
city couldn't be
was.
The fucking fat guy from Spawn, blob sewer mutant.
Right, yeah.
And afford it.
Yeah, exactly.
Facebook had to clean it up.
Yeah, be a guy like that who would watch TLC and gawk at people who were slightly fatter than you, but with electricity and people that cared about them. Be like, I hope that I'm never going to be that guy.
Mom's never coming.
I'm never going to be the San Antonio version of myself.
Where they're cutting a wall out.
Yeah, right.
Picking me up with a forklift.
Meanwhile, my house just doesn't have walls because I sold them to buy, you know, beer and Entenmann's.
Cheddar crackers.
All right, well, thanks for joining us. If you want to plug your furniture shop or no, or yes.
Oh, yes. Go to my rug. No, Shamanic's House is my Instagram. We sell a lot of shit through there.
Anything else you want to plug? Or?
And then the Perfect Guy Life podcast with everybody's best friend, Sam. My pal, your pal, Sam.
And where can you get that at?
And you can get that at Gumroad. Gumroad.com/Sam Hyde.
Check it out. Thanks again for joining us. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, definitely. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me. It's good to see you again.
Appreciate it.